WCNC Charlotte. This is Flashpoint.
Thanks for joining us here on Flashpoint. I'm Ben Thompson. This morning, an exclusive interview with the mayor of Charlotte, Vi Lyles. In just the past few months, city leadership coming under extreme scrutiny for its handling of ongoing issues with Charlotte's transportation agency. Between bus driver shortages, minor derailments, and big plans for transit growth, CATS has struggled to get its footing. Now the mayor says the agency is looking to begin a new chapter. Joining us now is Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles. Mayor, thanks for coming back on Flashpoint. Nice to have you.
Good to be here, Ben.
All right, so let's talk about CATS first. I feel like that's sort of the big sort of gorilla in the room at this point. There's been a slow drip of bad news from CATS over the last few months. The interim CEO even suggested a while back there might be more issues that would likely come to light. As the leader of our city, do you think you can tell taxpayers at this point that we have now turned a corner, that the slow drips of bad news from CATS at this point have stopped?
Thanks for asking that question, because I think transit is one of the major issues for us in our community, because we provide services to people to get to work. And you know what that means. They can pay their rents. They can get to around the city and, you know, be able to shop and all of that. So it's really important. And what I would say is that we are working through a system of change, and we are working in one direction, which is one to ensure that we have maintenance on our equipment, to ensure that our facilities are safe for people to be able to ride on. So I believe that we are headed in the right direction. We continue to focus on how do we build the best system for our people, but also how do we maintain that system so that it's something that's a foundation for us to grow in our mobility efforts.
You feel safe riding the blue line right now?
You know, that's kind of a loaded question, Ben. I would feel very safe because people are riding it every day. When we look at what NCDOT sent as information for us to change and what we've done, we've immediately addressed those issues. So I would say that the question really is, are we maintaining the system for safe operations? Yes, we are. There's risk if I get in my car, much less on a bus or a rail line. But what I would say is that we are moving in the direction to take the corrections immediately, working on those initiatives that we have to do to ensure that kind of safety statement that we have to have.
Last week during a city council meeting, you said that the MTC commission, which you also had, did not vote on an outside investigation from CATS, despite the commission voting to do so. I just want to clear up, because I think there was some confusion out there. Do you want to see an outside independent investigation, or do you think this can be a government-run investigation?
I think that I want to first clarify that we did say that we wanted to have an outside investigation. And my intent was to say, and perhaps not very clearly, and that's sometimes what happens when you're mayor, I meant to say that when the MTC requests that, it had to go through the Charlotte City Council. Ed Driggs has been phenomenally engaged in this effort to make sure that we have the right questions asked, we get the answers that the MTC has requested. And so I believe that what I hope that we would see is that we would have first the authorizing agencies that work with us. That's NCDOT's safety office, as well as the Federal Transportation Administration. When a plane crashes, the Federal Transportation Administration is there. When we have an issue on our buses, they will be there as well.
Has this whole sort of scenario, has it changed your view on how the city should go about its $13 billion transit plan going into the future?
It certainly has given me pause to think about how do we ensure what we have works. I've always been a person in government when I worked here, as well as being mayor now, is that we have to first make sure that the services that we provide are adequately addressed and funded, and that they are delivering the services that our residents want. So what I would say to you is, yes, there's a pause here. But it's a pause that I believe once we do the investment, we should continue. There's no way in the world that we can have a bus system that just serves the amount of people that we're serving now. When we grow the size of Greensboro in the next 5 to 10 years, our residents are going to increase, and we have to plan ahead for what we're doing. There's a pause in that planning right now. And I think you've seen it. We've delayed the idea that we would do the search for the CEO. We are putting a pause, but continuing to look at our mobility plan and what's required of that. So we can't, I like to say that we have to do both. And we have to make sure first our investment in what we have is being maintained, but we also have to plan for the future. That's why we have a planning division as well as a maintenance division.
To that point, I want to bear down on that a little bit more. Given the fact that originally you all were hoping to ask the General Assembly for that one-cent sales tax, because they have to sign off on it, as you know, and I think you all have indicated that that's not likely going to happen this year, which was the plan. So what is the fair timeline you see going forward for this mobility project now?
I think the timeline is when we get it right, when we have agreement among our region, when we finish the Connect Beyond study and work, when we develop a governance system that actually works, it's not so convoluted that we have people that are unionized with a contractor administering what we provide funding for. I believe that we have some opportunities here to adjust to what a system should look like in the long run.
Given the fact that Republicans now have a supermajority in both the State House and Senate, what concessions do you think the city will be willing to make to get this thing passed? I mean, even before they had the supermajority, the House Speaker indicated that he wasn't on board with the plan. What does compromise look like in your mind?
You know, I think compromise isn't about what's in my mind. It's actually about how the region is going to develop and work. So compromise to me is not the word. What I see is collaboration. Collaboration is the word that we need so that every mayor in our surrounding communities, whether it be from Concord or Kannapolis or Cramerton, all of those have to come in and say, we buy into this for the people that live in our region.
Speaking of that supermajority, I'm going to ask you a slightly off-topic conversation, but I want to get your sense because it's really incensed a lot of Democrats. Trisha Cotham switched parties. You know the family well, I assume. What was just your initial reaction as a Democrat?
Well, as a Democrat, of course, it's pretty tough to lose the ability to look at the commitments that were made during an election and to think that those might be in question. So I think that that's still a question. I believe that it must have been very difficult for Trisha Cotham to make that decision. So I think it's going to be what happens next. When these votes come up that she has said to her community that they supported her, that they were going, she was going to take. I think that's going to be when we really see whether or not there's been a major impact.
Our conversation with the mayor continues. Coming up, why she's not committing yet to running for mayor in the upcoming election. Welcome back to Flashpoint. Our conversation continues now with the mayor of Charlotte, Vi Lyles. Do you plan on running again this year?
Listen to you, Ben. You know you can't ask me that question. I'm working for April.
It's April of this year. I can't ask that?
Well, let's just put it this way. We've got a lot of work to do. And for me, I hope that the people that vote in this community have seen how much work we have done to move the city forward as we grow, the accomplishments of the UDO, the accomplishments that we're living around equity and inclusion. Some of these things are really important, and I hope that we'll follow them through, and I hope that the residents who vote will get out to vote and support people that support the initiatives that we have, affordable housing, mobility, good paying jobs for everyone. If you're in that group, then we feel like that's going to be our success for the future.
Mayor, forgive me, but it's April of this year.
April.
We're not talking about next year. You can't say yet right now whether or not you're going to run.
Filing's in July. So it's April, June, and July.
All right. All right. That's fair. What do you feel about sort of crime right now in the city? I know just a few months ago, the CEO of Blumenthal Arts telling city council that he didn't feel like some of his patrons and guests felt safe going to a show in Uptown. That's certainly a change of pace from what it's been like over the last 10, 15 years. What can you say to those folks who are now newly worried about safety in Uptown?
What I say is our uptown is one of the most safe places. It's difficult, though, when you start thinking about how many more people are in our center city. We've created a great place to live and work. And so we have more people in, and that brings the usual issues that we have in our community about homelessness. But that is not a criminal behavior. We have to learn to adjust. And we have to learn how to help people be their best selves. And so that means a lot of work we're doing with Charlotte Center City Partners on housing for homelessness and making those initiatives really real and impactful.
This past week, I know that City Council voted to demolish two hotels in the Hidden Valley neighborhood, hoping to replace it with possibly affordable housing. How is that helpful as far as a not only affordable housing tool, but also a crime prevention tool?
Well, you know, we're working on our Corridors of Opportunity program, and our corridors but identified as those places that we had disinvestment or no investment in as the city grew. And so we had the neighborhood, the communities working on what they call their playbook. And the recommendation from the neighborhoods was to reduce the amount of hotel rooms that are on that intersection of Sugar Creek and I-85, because most of those hotels are operating in a very tenuous environment, whether or not there's criminal activities going on. We've had a lot of police activities around human trafficking, but at the same time, we've got people that are really trying to help and improve, but we've got to make those choices. And I think that the council made a great decision, and I stand by it, because Hidden Valley is an intersection that we can change with those hotels coming down, where we can give people permanent safe housing. I believe it's the most important thing. I want to really congratulate the Hidden Valley leadership for standing up for the things that they believe their neighborhood needs. That was something we should have done years ago.
Final question. You know, we had the DNC here. We kind of had the RNC, but not really. We've talked about having a Super Bowl here. What do you think is the next big thing here for Charlotte?
I don't know what that next big thing is, but whenever it comes, we'll be ready.
Okay, that's fair. Mayor Vi Lyles, thanks for coming on and speaking with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Ben. Good to see you.
All right, more Flashpoint after this. Welcome back to Flashpoint. Attorneys worried it would be a mess, and they were right. We first broke the story in February about a history of issues behind the $100 million worth of new technology meant to upgrade the court's systems across North Carolina. The technology was supposed to launch in Mecklenburg County next month, but the launch in Raleigh has been so troublesome, it's now been delayed here, and we may all end up shelling out more money because of it. WCNC Charlotte's Michelle Bowden went to Raleigh to find out what's going on.
Think this won't impact you? Think again. We're talking $100 million in taxpayer dollars, plus something as simple as a speeding ticket with this new technology is now a giant hassle.
This will do nothing but delay justice.
Pitfalls everywhere. And I don't mean to sound alarmist, but this is bad.
The wheels of justice are spinning slower than ever.
Oh, it's been a train wreck from the get-go.
The system frequently goes down, frequently stalls. We've just started calling it the wheel of death because you just watch the wheel spin.
We spent $100 million to engineer a paperless efficient system that uses more paper and is totally inefficient, and it just doesn't work.
It's called Odyssey, or eCourt, the new system meant to update and connect all of North Carolina's courts digitally. But it's been one heck of a journey since it launched in February in Wake, Harnett, Johnston, and Lee counties.
This is going to sound overly dramatic, but this is not a bump in the road. This is not resistance to change. This is not an adjustment period. It's a disaster.
Everything's grinding to a halt. They've shut down some of our criminal courts at the request of the clerk's office.
Parrish Daughtry is an attorney in rural Harnett County, where it's been so bad they had no choice but to close courts for a week. And the planned May launch for Mecklenburg County has been delayed indefinitely.
Do you feel at this point that the way it's working in Wake County, could it work in Mecklenburg County?
No.
If they continue to roll this out, I think eventually the courts will just grind to a halt. Or you'll have something go wrong. Someone will get injured, someone will get killed because of a lack of knowledge. And at that point, people will say, hey, this is something we need to do. This is something we need to address.
These attorneys in the rollout communities are so upset they gather to talk to us. They say danger could come from law enforcement officers no longer having access to information they need before making an arrest, or everyday citizens not being able to get domestic violence protective or child custody orders in a timely fashion.
If you have an order for custody of your children, an order for domestic violence protective order, or an order to get you out of jail, and this is a true delay in justice in what we are doing now with this system.
What are some of the worst things you've seen so far?
Probably people who have been held in custody longer than they needed to be.
So your client literally sat in jail an extra 5 days because of a computer glitch.
That's correct.
This is still the United States. You're not supposed to be held in jail longer than you're supposed to be. That's a big deal.
Such a big deal when this same thing happened in other jurisdictions across the U.S. that also launched the Tyler Technology software. Lawsuits followed, with taxpayers on the hook for millions.
There can and should likely be something of that nature in the future, as we're talking about people's constitutional rights and liberties being infringed based off of computer glitches.
Another glitch, sensitive information wide open for anyone to see.
You may be able to see an incredible amount of personal information about someone else.
There have been social security numbers and date of birth, personal identifying information that's been visible on certain court forms that should be redacted, but it's definitely information that's out there that should not be out there.
Even if you have no interaction with the courts, a simple speeding ticket could turn into a nightmare.
I think driver's licenses are being revoked because things aren't being done promptly. Oh, the general public's definitely impacted at every stage of this process.
A spokesman for the administrator of the courts told us in an emailed statement, quote, to date, AOC and Tyler have resolved approximately 350 application defects.
But these attorneys say even if all the current glitches get resolved, the new technology is just plain slower than the previous one. Because it's a cloud-based system, it requires more reliable Wi-Fi than most of the courthouses have, especially in smaller counties.
How much extra money do you think it's costing because of all these glitches?
Oh, I wouldn't even have any way of ascertaining that and guesstimating that. I can tell you that I'm aware that there have been, you know, 7 additional servers that have had to been purchased to be able to adequately store the data that's being uploaded. And that's just after the 4 counties went live.
A spokesman for the administrative office of the courts admitted the legislature had agreed to one-time funding for the rollout and that money is running out. The courts plan to request more money.
The cost is absolutely exorbitant, I'm sure.
It's a total waste of time. It is just a total fiasco.
So when will this technology finally make its way to Mecklenburg and surrounding counties? No one seems to know. It's a story we will continue to follow and bring you updates as we get them. Reporting in Raleigh, Michelle Bowden, WCNC Charlotte.
More Flashpoint after this. Welcome back to Flashpoint. You may soon notice more security when taking public transit in the Charlotte area. CATS changing who it contracts with for security and upping its safety resources. WCNC Charlotte's Julia Kaufman tells us how leaders plan to allocate new funds to improve safety for riders and for CATS employees.
Safety in the Queen City's public transit system has been a concern for years. New leadership at the agency plans to change that by doubling its security budget and taking a three-pronged approach: armed guards, unarmed guards, and ambassadors.
Not just riders, but our operators do not feel safe while operating our bus system.
Charlotte City Council has awarded 2 new contracts for private security at CATS facilities. The vote means Allied Universal will be replaced with Strategic Security Corporation for armed guards and Professional Security Services for unarmed guards.
It is an increase in personnel and a splitting of the existing contract.
CATS interim CEO Brent Cagle says the agency's annual security budget will go from $7 million to $14 million over the next couple of years to staff more guards. Councilman Ed Driggs says it's much needed.
I appreciate that we are stepping up our investment in security. I think the public is concerned after reports about safety.
Mayor Pro Tem Braxton Winston voted against the change, saying riders have had issues with private guards and he'd prefer local law enforcement to do the job.
Well, I don't trust that spending more money on a service that hasn't been shown to work is the answer to providing a greater sense of safety and security on our transit system.
Cagle believes upping security and the new ambassador program aimed at de-escalating situations with riders and taking pressure off of drivers will make a difference.
Together, these three programs, we think, will change what passengers, what their belief is about how we secure the system and provide excellent customer service. I won't disagree with you, sir. I'm sure that you have heard that in the past we may have struggled. We are working to change that.
Council has asked the city attorney to look into the possibility of putting body cameras on armed guards and whether state body camera laws would apply to them if an incident were to happen. In Uptown, Julia Kaufman, WCNC Charlotte.
Hey folks, come interact with me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I'm all over the place, in a good way though. If there's something you want us to cover on Flashpoint, let us know as well. We talk about all sorts of things, as you know. It doesn't have to just be politics. As always, remember to listen and subscribe to our podcast. You can find it wherever you get yours. We'll see you back here next weekend.